Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! It's number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial ran first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease! The kicker can't trip him up! Headed for the end zone! Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Brower. Rebound. He scores. Trey Brower. The former Blackhawk has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We are broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Fenton. Budweiser would like to send you to opening day and to see the Cardinals take on the Padres. All throughout March, go to any of the 11 area Hot Shot sports bar and grill locations and register to win tickets to opening day, courtesy of Budweiser. Winners will be drawn and announced on March 29th. This is our Friday roundtable program. Jim Huer is our broadcast engineer. Charles Tuna Edwards and Andy Strickland with us on a big day in St. Louis. Andy, your Blues just cannot be stopped. Your thoughts as we wake up on this Friday morning?
Well, it was a February to remember, Frank. Not just for you, but for everybody. I mean, they are playing some amazing hockey, and it's unreal how when you get goaltending, you get saves, how everything else seems to kind of come together. And, you know, you get a combination of goaltending and Vladimir Tarasenko playing at a high level. You've got a guy like Ryan O'Reilly, who's one of the top players in the league, and he has been since day one this season. This is no fluke. They are really, really good. Now they have an opportunity tonight. If they win, they can gain some ground in the division with Winnipeg and Nashville playing against one another. But they were 12-1-1 in the month of February.
Gosh.
Vladimir Tarasenko with 22 points in the month of February. He was incredible, and it was so much fun. And, listen, nobody saw this type of turnaround. If anybody says they did, they're probably lying to you. But, you know, I said this to you before, and I really mean it. And Doug Armstrong, in an interview that I did with him a few days ago, reiterated the fact that this isn't as much of a surprise to him as it was how bad they were playing early on. I think that was the surprise. I don't think anybody expected them to be that bad, and I think this is closer to what the expectations were for the team internally and certainly for the fan base entering the season. And so can they continue this, and how hot will they be entering the playoffs? I think that's what everybody's interested to see.
And everyone in town knows I'm not a hockey expert.
Yeah, that explains
soccer,
it right there, because it's not soccer, it's hockey.
I'm not a hockey expert.
And you're not a basketball expert. You're not a football expert either. You're not a baseball expert.
Go over there on the cornfield, okay? I left a guy like you up in Alton last night at Snooks. He had three teeth. But, you know, you go on the air, and late at night after everybody talks Blues, my engineer would say, same old Blues. But this is not the same old Blues. This is a different team. And you mentioned something last week, Andy, about Ryan O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. These guys are out on the ice after practice, and young guys and the veteran guys, it's a different look to the team. Mm-hmm. And you can't say the same old Blues. They could win the division. You never know what's going to happen with this team.
It's not the same old
Blues. One more thing I want to get in.
Yeah.
We were crucifying Bomeister earlier. Yeah. Look what he's doing nowadays.
Or Bomeister.
Yeah.
I think Bomeister is from that old Santa Claus cartoon, right?
Not letting up on you today.
I mean,
he's coming out firing. It's
that's
like
okay.
A series of jabs
you get it off.
By the middleweight. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah, we got something on you, too. get ready.
The snow monster.
Yeah, get some Vaseline.
Speaking of Jay Bomeister, we did a feature with him, and that's going to come out very soon. Because
he's actually played better, too, hasn't he?
Better. I mean, I think he's had one minus game over the course of his last 25, something like that. I mean, he's been a plus.
Nobody talks about that.
Plus or even player for you know, a decent stretch. I mean, he and Colton Parayko that's a really good pairing. You know, I think it was a good idea to separate Bomeister from Pietrangelo for whatever reason. You know, they had a good run there for a couple of seasons, but they're better when they're not playing together, and we're seeing that right now. You know, you talk to players who play for the Blues who've just come over here. I mean, I had one guy tell me yesterday how he said, listen, J. Bo Bomeister.
Can you get it right?
Is nasty.
You're involved with hockey.
He said he's nasty just in terms of the stick that he has. Look at how big the Blues defensemen are in their top four. How many teams
can throw out
6'3" and above, 220 plus, who can all skate, great stick, who can move the move the puck up ice. So puck moving ability, and then you get to your third pair. You've got a big body in Robert Bortuzzo and Vince Dunn, who's playing some good hockey right now. So, you know, people don't talk about the backside pressure they're getting and the help they're getting in the defensive end from their forwards, which is a huge part of why they're, limiting the scoring chances against and the shots against, which has been a big part of this run. But again, you know, Jordan Binnington is.
Yeah, so tell us something about Binnington.
Story.
You're a hockey insider that we don't
know. And his personality.
Give us a little more insight on him. You called it up right off the bat when he came here, the big chip on his shoulder. Yeah. Now tell us something else interesting that the average fan wouldn't know about.
The Boston Bruins. I had a source from Boston tell me a few days ago they tried to trade for him last year when he was playing in the Boston system when the Blues loaned him to Boston. They tried to make a trade during the season.
Really?
To bring Binnington there. They were that impressed with him last year. You know, last year he made the American Hockey League All-Star team. And each team in the AHL has to submit a list of players that they would like to have, you know, who they believe are All-Star worthy. So each team does it. They send it to the league. You have to have that league submitted or that list submitted by December 1st. And the Providence Bruins submitted the list last December 1st, but they didn't have Jordan Binnington on there because he hadn't played that many games. And then the AHL came back to Providence, and they said, hey, you don't have Jordan Binnington on this list. What about him? And they said, well, we didn't think he played enough games because, you know, don't forget that Jordan Binnington was sent – you know, he was asked to go to the East Coast League by the Blues out of training camp last year because they didn't have a home for him. So he went home, and he sat there for a few weeks before they found him a place to go in Providence. And then they said, yeah, throw Jordan Binnington on the list as well. He made the All-Star team, and obviously he's been a great story. So he had that big victory against the Boston Bruins. He knew a bunch of those players on the other team who had played with him the year before in Providence. But
And why do you think they were higher on Ville Husso?
Oh, because Ville Husso, they're still really high on Ville Husso. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. Now, his season's kind of been wasted a little bit this year because he had the high ankle sprain. And he just came back, didn't play well the other night, but he just came back. And he hasn't had a good year, but this guy was a really, really good player last year. I mean, he was one of the top players out of his draft class coming out of Europe. He played over in Europe for a couple of years, played in the top league in Finland as like a teenager, and he won all the big-time awards there, individual awards for a goaltender. He was the best goaltender there. So he still has a big-time resume. He'll be good. But what Jordan Binnington is doing right now, he just took advantage of an opportunity. He got the chance. If Ville Husso was healthy, there's a chance we don't see Jordan Binnington here and that it's Ville Husso who got this opportunity. And even as good as Ville Husso is, I don't think he'd be able to do what Jordan Binnington's done over the course of the last month.
When you look at all of this, and people forget about this guy because you're going to need him down the road, Jake Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Allen becomes a very valuable asset right now. Don't you agree?
No, I think it's that's a great point. I honestly think that because, you know, you're going to need two goalies. At some point, you're going to have to play Jake Allen. Obviously, he played, last Sunday in Minnesota. Had a great game. He let in the goal in the overtime period, which you'd like to have that one back. He didn't play that one exceptionally well. But he had the shutout in Colorado, so that allowed him to feel part of what's going on right now in terms of that great run that they had. But he's going to play some games. I think the Blues still have five sets of back-to-backs that are left this season. The schedule doesn't get any easier in the month of March, except for the strength of schedule. They don't have a very difficult schedule. They only play, I think, six teams that are currently in the playoffs the rest of the way. Their schedule is much easier than what Nashville is going to have to face and what Winnipeg is going to have to face. Winnipeg has the most difficult schedule of the three teams that are fighting for that first-place spot. But again, I don't get caught up in winning the division. You know, you don't want to blow it all, just trying to get to first place. First place would be nice because it secures home ice advantage.
Well, that's the only time Jake's going to play those back-to-back games.
Probably so.
Now, how about this scenario?
Hey, listen, Jordan Binnington, it's been a great story, but I go game by game with him. I mean, just because...
Well, he had the off game, then he comes back and he's brilliant again.
That was the most impressive game for me this season was the game against Boston because, you know, he had that great run, but he hadn't really lost. how was he going to rebound after losing in Dallas? All so right. That was really impressive.
Set up this here. Let's just say this continues where he's really good and they have a nice playoff run. Let's say they win a couple of rounds and he's leading the way. Yeah. What would that do? What does that do to Doug Armstrong contract-wise? What do you think they would do with him?
Well, he's got arbitration rights once he gets to 26 games this season.
Which he'll get to.
And he'll get to 26. So he'll have arb rights and he'll be able to take his case in front of an arbitrator if the Blues aren't able to, reach a contract.
Do you think they'd want to lock him up like the Cardinals do sometimes with younger players like Paul DeJong?
Yeah, but I don't think they'll go crazy with it. But I mean,
they don't have to.
He's putting himself in a nice situation. He'll get a multi-year deal. And I mean, listen, Jordan Binnington's going to be your starting goaltender next year, entering the year.
Here's a question only you can answer, and most people don't even think about it. We look at the coach. He's doing a great job, and are we going to rehire him or whatever? Mm-hmm. Will he get offered another job from another team if he keeps going?
No, he could, but it's not going to get to that point. I mean, I said this on this show, like a month ago, that if the Blues make the playoffs, it's Craig Berube's job. If they don't make the playoffs, then it's not Craig
Berube's
job.
Wait a minute, if they were to make the playoffs and go out in one round, and you hear that Joel Quenneville's interested, you think that's still a done deal, Craig Berube's the guy?
I do. I mean, just based off what you'd have to pay Joel Quenneville versus what you'd have to pay Craig Berube.
What do those two contracts look like, roughly?
Probably separated north of $3 million, closer to $4 million.
Per year.
Per year. You know, I mean, Craig Berube's not going to make more than two. He's going to be less than two. And Joel Quenneville's going to be somewhere between five and six. Don't be surprised if Joel Quenneville ends up in Nashville. I'll throw that out there. If Nashville loses in the first round, and that's what I've been saying all along about Joel Quenneville, he can sit back. And what have I said since the day he got back? There are going to be good teams who are close, who are going to lose early in the playoffs, who are going to fire their coach if they think they can go out and get Joel Quenneville. And he wants to have a chance to win. He's going to take on he'll go to a team that he believes he can win with, but also in a city that he wants to live in. So Colorado maybe falls into that category. Nashville will fall in that category. We'll see what happens with Tampa Bay. They're having an unbelievable season. They're already north of 100 points. But if they were to fall out for whatever reason early in the playoffs, would they make a change? So he's going to have plenty of options. St. Louis is certainly still have interest in Joel Quenneville. But I'm just going to – I mean, based off of what Craig Berube has done, he deserves every opportunity to be the head coach here next season. And, again, if they make the playoffs – I don't think there's any chance he's not.
From listening to you guys, I've been making a lot of hockey notes, okay? Brought them with me. I go back to one game, and that was a week or two ago, and the fans just went berserk, and that was the Toronto game. Did that surprise you a little bit?
What do you mean berserk?
They were just enthusiastic.
It was a Tuesday night.
Oh man, unbelievable.
You should have seen the game the other night against Nashville, Charlie. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we use the term playoff crowd, but I always define playoff crowd when the crowd is reacting to every hit, every call, every missed call by the official. I mean, they were so engaged from the beginning of the game until the end. First period was so fast. I think there were 25 combined shots in the first period. And, again, edge-of-your-seat game, 0-0 game entering the third period. And Tyler Bozak scores the goal. Vladimir Tarasenko, very underrated passer. Like Brett Hall, this guy can distribute. Made a great pass to Ryan O'Reilly, first shift of the game. Jaden Schwartz should have scored on it and didn't. But this guy is just feeling it from a confidence standpoint, just in terms of his ability to distribute and shoot. So he's doing his part. But that was an unbelievable atmosphere downtown at the Enterprise Center.
So if you go deep in the playoffs, the fans here, your home fans, can really pump you up and help.
The home ice advantage is always important. Although in recent years in hockey, it hasn't shown to be as critical as maybe it is in the NBA or the NFL. I mean, it just seems like road teams aren't really bothered by playing away from home ice. And, again, the St. Louis Blues, I don't think they could care less if they start at home or on the road. You prefer to start on home ice, but, again, they've been one of the best road teams all season long.
But now that they've established themselves as a great home team with seven wins in a row for the first time in 7 years.
If you have the option, you want to be at home, for sure.
All right, quick thought on Carolina. They haven't made the playoffs this decade, but they're playing better. They have a chance now.
Yeah, they're playing a lot better. In fact, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, Tom Dundon, he's my guest today on Hockey Sense at 4 o'clock. I'm looking forward to talking with him. And he also just put in $250 million into that football league you guys follow, the Alliance League or whatever. What's it
called?
He's
in the Alliance League or the XFL?
The Alliance League. He just bailed them out. Just put in $250 million to essentially allow them to make payroll, although the other guy who's been running it says differently, that they weren't in danger of not making payroll. I'll ask him about that. I'll sneak in a football question or two with him later on today. But
I did actually have it on in the background on Sunday night and saw Martz's team, San Diego.
Oh.
And they threw the ball every time. They scored 31 points.
Well, yeah. How about that? But, you know, the Carolina Hurricanes have got everyone's attention because of their post-game celebrations and some of the stuff that they've done. So, you know, longest current streak in the league of missing the playoffs.
Really?
I don't think they made the playoffs since 2009. And
yeah.
They went to the conference final that year, actually, losing to the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Doug Waite
would not have been there in 2009. He was there just for a half a season when the Blues traded him at the trade deadline, and then he won the Stanley Cup and then re-signed with St. Louis the following summer. But they've got some really good players. I mean, Sebastian Aho is one of the top young players in the league. They've got a kid, Svechnikov, who they drafted second overall last season. Or last June, he's a Russian. He's got 14 goals on the season. Some good young defensemen. I mean, Rod Brind'Amour is the coach. He's been a great match for that young team. They just play with a ton of energy. They've been good at home. I think they've won their last three. So this is going to be a challenge for the Blues. The only team, I believe, in the NHL that Vladimir Tarasenko has never scored against is the Carolina Hurricanes.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty sure.
See, that's a good stat. All right. Let's see. There was one other thing I wanted to ask you. Oh, Blues in terms of individual awards. Is there a chance that Binnington sneaks into the Calder Final Three?
Oh, for sure. I don't think there's any question. Now, he's not going to win it because of what the kid in Vancouver is doing. Elias Pettersson, who is going to be close to 40 goals before it's all said and done. He's unreal. But he'll be a first-team all-rookie goaltender for the Blues. Everyone thought Carter Hart would be that guy, but he slipped a little bit. Now he's down in the American Hockey League. Brian Elliott's healthy for the Philadelphia Flyers. So with what Jordan Binnington has done, and Carter Hart's 20, Binnington's 25, has a lot of professional experience. Carter Hart's going to be an incredible goaltender for a long time in the NHL. But Jordan Binnington, he'll be first-team all-rookie in the NHL, and I do think he'll crack the top three and be a part of that discussion for the Calder and be there in Vegas for the award show.
Awesome. No other Blue will be – will Riley be up for anything?
O'Reilly could be up for the Selke. I know everyone's pushing for that. There's obviously Patrice Bergeron, who's always, you know, he seems to win it every year. You got Lindbom. And,
what about Berube, Coach of the Year? Could he be in the Final Three?
He certainly could be, yeah. I mean, but it's going to be tough. I mean, you got Barry Trotz, what he's done with the New York Islanders. You know, you have what the head coach has done in Calgary, who came over. You know, Peters, who came over from Carolina. He was there the last several years. Now he's in Calgary. You know, John Cooper, I mean, I know he's got the best team in the league, but what they've been able to do, I mean, I don't know how he doesn't crack the top three either. So, you know, Ken Hitchcock, he won the Jack Adams for Coach of the Year when he took over early in the season and replaced Davis Payne. I think the Blues went on to win the division that year. So if the Blues win the division, hey, listen, Craig Berube's going to have a real strong chance. But he may be just on the outside looking in right now in terms of cracking the top three, but there's still plenty of hockey left. There's a lot more hockey left this season than people realize. I mean, I know on the schedule you say, well, only 20 games, but just look at the month of March, man. It is absolutely brutal. You got to head out to the West Coast. Again, I mentioned the back-to-back games. They've got a tough stretch coming up here in the month of March, but that's why what they did in February was so impressive. They had three consecutive weekends where they played back-to-back games, Saturday and Sunday, against some really good teams. I mean, two games against Nashville, two games against Minnesota. They had Boston in there as well. They ended up getting 11 out of those 12 possible points, and it's put them in an unreal position. Head-to-head against Nashville, I think St. Louis is a better team. Nashville doesn't scare me the way that they maybe did 2 years ago.
Yeah, I guess they're 4-1.
4-1. They've won the last four, yeah.
All right, we'll take a short timeout. We're broadcasting live from Hot Shots. A lot of topics to get to, including Jason Witten back to football, the MLS in St. Louis, and the Cardinals Hall of Fame voting is eligible right now. We'll have these two gentlemen pick their two Cardinal Hall of Fame votes. We're broadcasting live from Hot Shots. I do want to tell you about a couple of our sponsors real quickly, and one of them is Gateway Motorsports Park. Go to Gateway MSP for more information about the track. They have NASCAR. They have Indy cars with the Bomarito 500, and they also have NHRA. It's one of the few tracks in America that does that. We appreciate Curtis Francois being a part of this program and being a sponsor with Gateway Motorsports Park. And, of course, Maryville University sponsors the phone lines. And you can go to maryville.edu for more information about that terrific university. Our game plan today, Martin will be here at 11. Chris Gerber will join us at 11:20. And we're also going to tell you about Hollywood Casino's Mardi Gras big weekend. We'll be right back.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Broadcasting live from Hot Shots in Fenton. They have a sandwich here called the Massive Woody. It's a double burger. It's three grilled cheeses and four pieces of bacon. Come on by and say hello. Andy Strickland, Charles Tuna Edwards, Frank Cusimano, our broadcast engineer. Is the one and only Jim Huer. Martin will be here at 11 o'clock. All right, Cardinals Hall of Fame ballot has just come out. If you had to narrow it down to two, and I'll give you the headliners, Keith Hernandez, John Tudor, Scott Rowland, Jason Isringhausen, and Edgar Renteria. First of all, who really jumps out at you? Oh, this guy has got to go in.
I think Keith Hernandez jumps out at me just looking at his numbers just now. And Scott Rowland, I think, really jumps out as well. I mean, this guy was part of some great teams, an integral part, the best at his position at the time in the entire league.
Absolutely.
Great player. He most definitely belonged in the Cardinal Hall of Fame. I'm not saying the main Hall of Fame.
If he wouldn't have gotten hurt, we'd be talking about it in the main Hall of Fame. But yes. Because his power was dramatically reduced after that.
Yes.
I would say Keith Hernandez didn't start out his career in St. Louis hell-bent, but one of the best players at his position. But the guy I like didn't have a super, super record. He was the second nastiest pitcher in the history of the Cardinals was John Tudor. Mm. I've got to put John Tudor on there. He was the one guy when you walked in that locker room, you didn't throw a pie in his face. You didn't do anything incorrectly to him. I would go with John Tudor.
Because he was intimidating.
Right? Yes, he was.
But he had that
Was he more intimidated than Carpenter?
Oh, I don't think so. No. But started season 1-7 and then went 20-1.
Right.
Yes.
And he has one of the best winning percentages in Cardinal history.
But his other seasons, I think his career high here in St. Louis was like 13 wins, something like that.
No, he won 20. John
yeah,
Tudor.
No, he won 21.
He won 21.
21
yeah.
1 year. I'm talking about outside of that 21 win season. Listen, John Tudor can come in. If we're picking two, I'm just not so sure he makes my top two.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put him – I wouldn't put him ahead of Rowland. Mm-hmm. But I think the year after, that's how this voting goes, is if you do well 1 year.
Yeah.
Then so I think that Izzy and Tudor probably have a great shot. Renteria may eventually get in. I think I mentioned this to you before, but we're in this Red Ribbon Committee, and they're going at it. You know, we're debating names, and Whitey is pushing hard – for his guy, Tommy Herr, mm-hmm. and then Tony is pushing hard for his guy, Edgar Renteria. They're both kind of similar in a sense. Mm-hmm. Glue guys, underrated, unbelievable,
especially
just gamers.
Edgar Renteria, I mean,
oh my gosh.
Unbelievable guy.
He never won a World Series here, did he?
No, Edgar did.
Did he win a World Series?
Yeah.
What about, he was on
he
Miami?
He was not here in 2006 or 2011.
He wasn't in 2006.
He was in Atlanta already in 2006.
Eckstein
was the guy then.
He was
a two-time All-Star here. I don't believe he won a World Series.
He did not.
He had some great seasons, though.
Yeah.
Tommy Herr, his season in 1985.
110 RBIs.
Best we've ever seen for
maybe
a second
one of the most underrated Cardinals
here.
Ever.
Yeah. And he should have a ton more gold gloves, but mm-hmm. they gave it to Sandberg because he was a better offensive player.
Yes.
But Tommy Herr is every bit the equal defensively as Ryan Sandberg. Mm-hmm. All right. A little bit of MLS news this week. USA Today story this week where the commissioner says, I'd love to see these great geography rivalries like a St. Louis and a Kansas City. And then yesterday, he does an interview with Taylor Twellman on ESPN saying, look, we're down to two. It's Sacramento or St. Louis. So we're going to find out. Board of Governors of the MLS meets in April, and it's going to be St. Louis or Sacramento.
And that's when we'll find out, in April.
That's when they're meeting. It may be a little bit longer.
Tell
after that.
Me this. What's the advantage St. Louis has over Sacramento and vice versa?
No.
Okay. I think one thing is the soccer heritage. And I think that does play into it. Sacramento doesn't have 10 national championships with their local university and all these great Hall of Famers like, you know, St. Louis has.
But California as a state, I mean, they have history
yeah.
of soccer, right?
I think that our local ownership – where you just have two parties involved and then the minority angle, with Carolyn Kendall Betts helps our cause.
Who's the ownership group in Sacramento?
Well, they do have a billionaire now, so but it's a male. So I think the female thing helps. Now, here's one advantage Sacramento has is their USL team draws, you know, like 9 to 10,000. And our USL team, because of the size of Worldwide Technologies Park, only draws, you know, 6,000.
Why do you think the female aspect works more? Because there's no female owners?
Yeah, there's none. In fact, there's maybe one in professional sports now. I don't know. Maybe there isn't any now.
But a girl in Benson's ex-wife.
Oh, yeah, she's taken over.
New Orleans, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Pat Bowlen's wife, she's kind of running it out there.
The New York Giants football team, right? The owner of the Detroit Lions is owned by a female.
Mrs. Ford. So we got several. Yeah.
But this would be like the first one where a woman is not inheriting. Is not the owner.
Does that matter to them, you think?
I think they'd love to have a female owner, for sure. Mm-hmm. And she's pretty sharp. So, I was with Jim Cavanaugh the other day, and that stadium we were going to build here a few years. Or actually, you go back to Matthews Dickey. If it was going to be a $200 million stadium, he says now it's up to $225 to $275.
If we're awarded a franchise, is the city of St. Louis ready to go right now?
Well, they wouldn't have to be till 2022.
But that's what I'm talking about. Is everything set in stone? Stadium?
Oh yeah,
funding?
Terms of like government wise, yeah. So. Bottom line is they got to get the plan. The two sticking points we have right now is sponsorship for outside the stadium and then sponsorship on the jersey. Those are the two big things, and that's what they're working on.
They'll get a sponsorship.
On the jersey, may be easier than you think.
I mean, talk to Hot Shots, man. Right. We're here at Hot Shots right now. We'll put Hot Shots on
the
jersey.
I can go to Weber Chevrolet, like Crown Candy.
I can put MTC truck driver training on there, too.
I can do that, too.
If you want.
I can do it in Ameren, Illinois. They'll do it.
All right. What about the Robert Kraft situation? Chuck, do you think that he will be the owner of the Patriots moving forward, or do you think his son takes over?
That is a very, very good point. As far as what he's done, it's terrible. As far as the trafficking, but he was donating money to that cause for years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he knew about it or not. Will his son take over? He should. Now, the problem is it's going to be Roger Goodell. They're buddies in a sense, and they're buddies not in a
but
sense.
But he's gone after him
in the past. But still, we don't. The good old boys work different when you're in a separate room.
I don't see how he could not be penalized severely and kind of asked to move on.
You know who's the pressure's on Roger Goodell again.
Yeah.
What move will he make? He should move. He should want to move out. He should want to get back. Hey, it's too much stink over my team. I'm moving out. My son's going to run it from now on.
And so turning it over to his son is not selling it to somebody down the street or a different person. You're essentially still
running it.
Still
like,
involved.
Like Crunky Duck.
You just make your son the face of it. And they already know as a family that's probably the plan anyway. So if it happens a year or two in advance, what difference does it make?
He maybe want to step down in the next couple of years anyway. Right. So it may be, but we're going to do it early now.
He's close to 80, isn't he?
77. Now, one thing, this is embarrassing.
Well, is close to Charlie's age.
No. His legacy.
He's a little younger than Charlie.
No, his legacy, is it tarnished? Will people remember Robert Kraft as the owner of the six-time world champion New England Patriots? Or will they remember him as going after prostitutes?
Yeah, let's face it. Before this, he could have gone down as one of the five best owners in professional sports history. I mean, six Super Bowls. And now this is going to be the first thing in Wikipedia.
Do you think he knew these women were being, like...
He went back.
So he went... No,
he was there before the championship game.
Yeah, I know. The day of the AFC championship.
Right, in the morning. But it got good to him.
But did he know the extent that, like, they're living there and they're essentially being...
Well, let me tell you what. As smart a guy as he is, that was one of the dumbest moves in the world. You know, it's social media. I'm the owner of the page. Somebody is watching me. Then you already know you got other top-notch guys going there. And you know, little strip mall? Uh-uh. Mm. You know somebody's watching. Yeah. That's crazy.
Not to mention.
Women run the world, I keep telling you.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention, he has this beautiful 39-year-old girlfriend.
It don't matter. See, that don't matter. See, I try to tell people that. First of all, in life, everybody cheats at something. I don't care who you are, you cheat. I don't care how good your girlfriend or wife looks. If you look at her too long, you get tired of her once in a while. You want to go out and mess around. It's just a man. Most men are like that. So I don't look at that part. I don't care how good she looks. You want more.
This program not brought to you by the National Organization of Women here today, I got to tell you. All right, another topic. Jason Witten, one of the few guys to go to the broadcast booth and then go back to football. I imagine it's happened before. You know what I think, too, is this is my dime store psychology, is that Jason Witten, his entire life, was not criticized. I mean, he was, you know, he has some of the most, the greatest tight end stats of all time. Mm-hmm. He's got to go to the Hall of Fame with 11 Pro Bowls. And he was always the guy, even when the Cowboys were bad, Romo was getting the criticism. Mm-hmm. Jason Witten was the savior. So all of a sudden he goes on national TV, and every week he's getting barbecued and killed. And he wasn't a great broadcaster. And I don't need this.
I would go through the Twitter comments during Monday Night Football. And they were, I mean, piling on like you've never seen before. And same with the other guy, Booger McFarland, too. I mean, he wasn't much better. He was just
Booger
as bad.
McFarland irritates the hell out of me.
Oh, my God. He just speaks 100 miles an hour and wants to tell you how smart he is hanging up in that chair. It was, listen, Monday Night Football, there should be a standard for Monday Night Football with the history and how much tradition and the excellence that we've seen in broadcasting who have brought Monday Night Football into people's homes. Monday Night Football is not as big of a deal as it used to be because there's football every other day of the week now. But still, you got to have a standard there. And you can't expect – this is why I didn't hold it just against Jason Witten. People think being a broadcaster, you can just flip a switch and be great at it, okay? It takes time. It takes practice. You got to get experience. And I don't care how long you play, just to step foot in a broadcast booth and automatically be great. Like
you are
Romo,
so right. That's the best statement you've made on this program
ever.
About 3 years. You know what they do? They just slide these guys in. Oh, yes. Joe Montana, he's a great quarterback. Let's make him a broadcaster. Joe Montana never said anything interesting as a quarterback. Why would they think he'd say something interesting as a broadcaster? That you have to give guys, like, seasoning.
Well,
you have to if you want to have them practice, work on the really bad game, like, you know, the Buccaneers and the Browns, the fifth game on Fox.
I go beyond that.
You trust this guy in Monday Night Football?
I go beyond that. The reason why these guys don't make, you've got to go after guys that have personalities, even before they go on the air and practice. Danny Dimes, we knew, had a personality. We knew what Frank Gifford was. We knew what Howard Cosell said.
We knew what
they don't have that anymore.
We knew what Dan Dierdorf was.
Yeah, we don't have that anymore. You can go practice on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers all you want. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a personality, you can't practice
on
that.
Well, yeah, but you shouldn't be thrust into this thing.
Of a name.
But the challenge is not knowing the game or knowing the players in the football. That's the easy part.
Howard didn't know the game that much. Howard didn't know the game that much.
It's the ability to do it, to do television. When somebody's talking in your ear and having to work is part of a team on television.
And Howard was so critical.
And learning how to do TV, I think that's the challenge.
Okay, now, you know how to make Monday
Night. It's not about knowing what a 3-4 defense is.
You know how to make Monday Night Football relevant and appointment television? You do it with two moves. You get off of ABC, and you got to get off of ESPN and go to ABC, go from cable to a network, and then you hire Peyton Manning. All of a sudden, things change.
What are you going to do? He's dull as I don't know what.
No, he's not.
He's dull. He's dull.
Now,
he's
of all dull. The dumb things you've said.
He is so dull.
Peyton Manning
is so dull. What is he going to do? He's dull.
You're thinking of Eli.
No, I'm thinking about both of them.
No.
The whole family's dull. The mother's probably dull, too.
If you went to ABC executives right now, or ESPN executives, and say, "Hey, what is your dream?"
No,
it would be Peyton Manning, because they begged him to come last year.
As far as the game, he's fantastic. He's dull as heck. Him and his brother, his father, his mother, all of them dull. The whole family.
Yeah, that's why all these companies pay him tens of millions of dollars because he's
paying him
for his name. No, the guy has camera presence.
They kept paying him for his name. If you put Peyton Manning in there, you better surround him with some support.
You know, they hit gold with what's his name, who's now the head coach of the Raiders.
Oh, what are you talking about? Oh, Gruden.
Gruden was excellent. He was unbelievable. But they always paired him up with a terrible play-by-play guy.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, Tirico was okay. The McDonough guy was less than average.
You know what?
And you could tell they didn't get along very well. There was tension in the booth. And now he leaves and goes. You know, the last thing Monday Night Football wants to be doing is changing their broadcast every single year. But I don't know how they came
to
that
conclusion. Now, what they'll do is this. They will go to Peyton Manning and beg him, and they'll offer him a lot of money. If and when he says no, the second pivot for ESPN – I think should be Kurt Warner, who does an unbelievable job on radio and now has, you know, camera presence, got
good.
His reps for the NFL Network.
He's dull too. He's good. They dog. Man, you need a person. You need personalities in there. That's why Monday Night Football was so good. Now, Frank Gifford didn't have the personality. He was solid. Dandy Don had it. Howard have it. So you got to have two guys.
Well,
that
you're going back like 50 years. Can you go and be a little bit more relevant?
That's what you need, though, Frank.
But see,
we're
Charlie.
In a different age.
Oh, so Tony Romo. So Tony Romo is bad.
Tony Romo is fantastic.
Okay, Collinsworth's really bad, huh? He's dull.
I like, but that's not Monday Night Football. They're very good.
Sunday night's bigger than Monday Night Football.
I love that. But you're talking about Monday Night Football, what we need to do to change it. We need some personality. They need to copy what they've done with Romo. Now, here's Romo. You could tell Romo before – when you did an interview with Romo, Romo was going to be good in the booth. These other guys, you're going by name only. They need that Monday Night Football.
You don't think Kurt Warner has done a really good job on the NFL Network and done a great job working with Kevin Harlan on radio, too?
Let me tell you something.
Have you ever heard of Monday Night Football radio game, Charlie?
Yeah, I listen to it all the time. Okay. Monday Night Football is a unique situation. If you're talking about going back to the old days, you can't duplicate it. But you got to go with guys that have personalities, guys that can upset you, do everything. Howard Cosell was the perfect guy. You need another
Howard Cosell. Well, there'll never be another Howard Cosell.
But you need there's some Howard Cosell.
They tried to replace him with Tony Kornheiser and Dennis Miller.
No, they were terrible. You need a personality
Howard. I gotta explain what Charlie's saying once again because
I think you should.
I don't fully disagree. What Charlie is saying is don't underestimate the value of the play-by-play guy, too. Okay, Howard Cosell was not the color commentator. He's the play-by-play.
No, he wasn't.
No, he wasn't play-by-play. No.
He was the color commentator.
No. He was the analyst.
Who was the play-by-play?
Well, Frank Gifford started with Keith Jackson. Then they went to Frank Gifford.
And then Gifford was the analyst.
Gifford became the analyst when they brought in Al Michaels.
Because
Al Michaels has
– You're right, Andy.
He plays a part in how good Collinsworth is. They're a great team. You know, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, they're a good team, you know? So, listen, I love the work of people like Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders on the NFL Network. I mean, their interview skills and what they do, I mean, it's fantastic. Michael Irvin's been in the booth calling games where he's not very good. You got to put in a level of preparation if you're calling a game that you don't really need to do if you're doing a studio show. He's not as good doing play-by-play. I don't know how good Deion Sanders would be reacting on the spot, on the fly to a specific play.
But once again, you're talking about a football player.
Yeah.
You need a guy in there that's maybe not. I know they tried it with Dennis Miller, who was awful. You need a Howard Cosell type. You can't duplicate Howard again. You need a guy that – he don't have to be football, but a personality – with all the people in this country, we can't find a personality to put that
Tony Kornheiser and Dennis Miller didn't work. Charlie.
Tony, neither one of them were worth a damn in the first place.
But I'm a proponent, though, of having a former player.
Here's one for you, then. And this is a guy that's done his homework and paid his dues a little bit. He's on CBS Today, on NFL Network, is Nate Burleson. You talk to most people, and they think
– the look guy, yeah.
No, he's his former wide receiver, Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you talk to most
Detroit
people,
Lions.
They think that he is like an emerging star.
Is he funny also?
I don't know if I'd say he's funny, but he's passionate. He's definitely passionate.
I think he's good. I don't think he's that good. I mean, I've watched him a lot on the NFL Network, too. I mean, he's good. He's a Canadian.
You need
a guy that
will make you want to watch the damn game as well. You need a guy that's going to make you laugh.
Well, I don't know.
This guy's going to upset you. I don't know how you could not think
that Peyton Manning would make people watch.
If he's surrounded by personalities,
you got to have a good play-by-play guy with some charisma and with some flash.
You need a guy that's going to upset. Howard made you laugh. Howard would upset you. I will never forget the thing he did on Willie McGee. He upset people. But Howard Cosell
said he looked like E.T.
But you look at the college broadcast. Like Kirk Herbstreit, he's not like entertaining, but he does a good job on the broadcast.
You don't like Kirk Herbstreit either?
He does a good job on the broadcast.
He's dull, though. He's no good.
He's dull.
He's good.
He's very good.
He's good, but he's dull.
But the broadcast is a good broadcast. He does the game. Fowler, who's the play-by-play guy, is not the most energetic, flashy play-by-play guy you've ever heard, but they're a great team. You got to find a good team, a good tandem.
I would go along with Peyton Manning if he's surrounded by two other guys. Monday Night Football is still more solid, although Sunday night the ratings are fantastic, of course. But Monday Night Football can make a comeback.
It's important.
But you also got to book the right games as well.
Yeah, you probably got to put it on ABC instead of ESPN. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll take a short time out. We're broadcasting live from Hot Shots. One of our great sponsors is the Bomarito Automotive Family. They celebrated another state championship this year. That means they sold the most cars in the state of Missouri. They do that every year. Nobody has more. Nobody sells more. 20 locations. They are in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. We know your car better than anyone. Your number one choice for automotive needs, the Bomarito Automotive Family. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back.
This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all new 590 The Fan. Ask Strick if he saw Backus fight Earn last night.
Ernie. Adam Ernie from Tampa Bay. I did see the fight. Good fight. Good scrap. You know, Adam
Backus
Ernie.
Backus did well.
Adam Ernie came from behind and cross-checked Backus, and he went into the goalpost pretty hard. And he turned around. He got up and turned around and wanted to know who did it. And that was the second consecutive game that David Backus had fought. He actually had fought Michael Haley from the San Jose Sharks, who's an absolute nutcase. He had no interest in fighting Haley, and Haley was only on the ice specifically to get into a fight, and it was a very short fight. The fight last night, though, against Ernie was very good. He handled himself well.
Speaking of fights, Trent Frederick began his career with one in Boston. He was sent down before the game with the Blues.
Yeah.
He's going to be a fine player in the league, right?
He's going to be a real good player. In fact, I was talking to somebody with the Bruins the other day. His first game back down in the American Hockey League, they said he absolutely dominated. It was unbelievable. But, you know, let's face it, he's a young player. The Boston Bruins have Stanley Cup aspirations. They brought in Charlie Coyle from Minnesota. They want to give him an opportunity to play the center position. And they want to win a Stanley Cup. They feel like their window is going to close at some point here with all their great legendary players they've had over the years. They still have Chara on the back end. They probably needed to upgrade at that position on the third line if they're truly going to go deep into the playoffs, just based off of where Frederick is at right now in his career. He's going to be a good player, like I said, but he was only playing 8, 9, 10 minutes a game, and so the writing was on the wall. I think their idea was to give him a taste of the National Hockey League, and he got that, and he'll be on that roster, I would think, to begin the season next year.
And his numbers
American League. Yeah.
American League, yeah. They've been okay?
Oh, yeah. He's got something like 20 points, around that. I think he had 18 points somewhere in that range before his call-up. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's back in a Bruins uniform at some point this season. You're only one injury away during the course of a playoff series, and all of a sudden they have to call on a young kid to come in there and give you some games. So he's got to be ready, and he knows that.
Charlie, XFL hiring coaches, would it make you be at all interested if Isaac Bruce was on the staff, or if they hired Jim Haslett and he had Isaac as the offensive coordinator?
I think Isaac Bruce would be on the staff of an NFL team right now.
Does he
want to? I don't think
he
wants to. No. Nobody wants that.
Martin texted him.
He's made a ton of money.
No. Martin texted him the other week while we were on the air, and Isaac said, if the money was right. If the money was right.
If the money was right.
Well, no. He texted, I think he said on the as an XFL coach, because apparently these guys are paying him a lot of money for a short period of time.
XFL.
Well, he's going to get money at the NFL if he brings in. He's going to command a lot of money.
I can't picture
what's a lot of money as a position coach.
I don't know.
Or a coordinator.
I don't have the salary structure. If somebody offered him a job in the NFL as an assistant coach, Isaac Bruce would probably take it. We can't think for the man.
Wait a minute. You know what the life is of an NFL assistant coach.
Right.
You also know how much Isaac
24
made.
24 hours a day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How much he made and what he achieved and how he already sacrificed.
Yes.
Do you really think he put up with that grind?
Yes, I do. Personally.
I
can't think for another guy.
For a year.
I do.
For 1 year, I'll be like, okay, you know what?
And once you get in it, it's like a fever. You stay with it.
Oh,
no.
I think it's a fever. You want to get rid of it.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, most guys who do it for a long time, I mean, and then all of a sudden they get to a point where they're making a certain amount of money.
He's raising his kids. He's got this foundation. He's doing public appearances.
Because they're at the coordinator level, or they've been a head coach, and they've made a lot of money. I mean, this is not Scott Linehan here.
We don't know. You don't know?
Now, XFL, I think it'd be fun. You do it for 3 or 4 months. You make $500,000.
And there's no pressure?
Well, that league's not going to be around.
No pressure?
NFL's going to be around. He's got job security with the NFL.
Well, the NFL, the success of the NFL is the reason why we're seeing these other leagues in the first place.
We don't know what Isaac would do until if the money is right. You never know what a guy would do. We don't know. Because he's not doing much now.
Charlie, you could say that about anybody.
Yeah, but I'm saying.
Okay,
I'm
if the money
about,
is right.
I'm talking about Isaac Bruce.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm
talking about Isaac Bruce.
I'd bet the mortgage he wouldn't. Gosh, those jobs are terrible. I mean, it's great money and everything. I agree. But, boy, if you've made as much money as he's had, as he's done, you don't want to work 80-hour weeks again, I don't think.
No,
but
no.
Let's see, what else? Translated, Charlie, you need a man of color in the booth. No, you'll take a white guy as long as he's got some personality.
If he's got a personality, I'll take him. Somebody's funny. Dennis Miller, when you pick out these guys, Dennis, we wouldn't know Dennis Miller with that dry humor. That don't work in a pro level.
It didn't work.
Do it.
No.
Listen, I'm in complete agreement with you. But I don't care what booth we're talking. I don't care if it's baseball. I want to be entertained.
You don't?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, I want to be entertained. But sometimes the entertainment can be in somebody who is so smart about that particular game, their ability to break it down and explain it. Yes.
But you get tired of that sometimes.
That makes it entertaining.
But you get tired of that sometimes. I'm tired of hearing about the X's and O's. I want a guy with a Howard.
You want him to tell jokes?
Well, sometimes you don't have to tell.
Well, that's why Barkley's
Howard
so good.
Yeah, Barkley. Howard. See, Barkley has a combination of the two.
You need a Barkley.
But he's
type
a studio.
Yeah,
he's a studio guy.
You need
no
a Charles Barkley type guy.
Barkley's Barkley
about.
Is studio. He's not instantly reacting to a play. And football's different than basketball. Bill Walton is a guy who is as entertaining as anything we've ever seen.
My guy. He's
you know,
the best.
I mean, Steve Snapper Jones and Bill Walton. That's the best team I've ever in the NBA. I've never seen anything like it with Marv Albert.
See. Bill Walton is the kind of guy that you want as a personality. He's going to upset you. He's going to say what's on his mind. And that's what Howard
does. It's unbelievable because anytime you text anything I do about Bill Walton, how great he is, I'll get like 50 just negative shots.
Oh, I love Bill Walton.
Yeah, he's the best.
One thing Howard Cosell did, Howard was an expert in everything, but he was a super expert when it came to boxing. He wasn't an expert, and he used to mention that. You should read his book.
Oh, baseball is horrible.
And football was the same way. But he knew people. That's where he did his homework.
But let me tell you this, though. Bill Walton, he can go into a game and be in a booth and say whatever he wants. Most people can't, okay? Most people don't have the ability. Well, he's been doing this forever. That's why they hire him. They want him to be Bill Walton. If you think anybody else can just come in there and all of a sudden just be and just start talking and say whatever they want.
All right, who's the hockey analyst that's elite? That's colorful, that you love.
I mean, you look at, listen, Don Cherry, he's like the one guy, right? But he's not a
game. Studio guy, yeah.
He's a studio guy, but I mean, he's a guy who, you know, obviously
the problem,
speaks his mind.
The problem you
Eddie
have,
Olchek's considered the best one in the States, you know? And, you know, he's a pretty straight shooter. He just calls the game.
One of the other problems you players in the broadcast booth, they don't know how to be critical of their fellow man. That hurt Jason Witten for a while. He got critical. That's the hardest transition for a guy is to be critical of his peers.
That's why I'm impressed with Warner, who was not critical when he was a player. Wouldn't say anything bad about anybody. Mm-hmm. But, boy, he's very candid on NFL Network and on these radio games.
That's one of his best attributes.
So. Mm-hmm. All right, what do we have?
You don't have to be. That's the thing. You don't have to be critical. You just got to call it.
Be honest. See what you see.
Be honest. And Tony Romo does that. You know, if he doesn't like the play call, he says he doesn't like the play call. Somebody missed a block, he's going to tell him he missed a block. You know, you just don't have to cross the line. I think that's where, you know, Darren Pang, I think he does a great job here locally as well for the Blues in terms of being entertaining and being able to call the game. If the game gets serious, he can get serious with it.
It's 11 o'clock. You know we got to get out of here.
Yeah,
I know.
We're going to go to Carolina and talk with Chris Kerber. You can tell us Who were you brought to by today?
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Ooh. I'm brought to you by MTC Truck Driver Training. Of course, if you don't like your job, you should just quit and be a trucker. They're hiring instructors right now as well. Call my good buddy Jeff Bowsett today. start a new career, get paid to see the country. Is there a better way to get paid than to drive and see the open road? You can also drive locally as well. 314-895-4111, and you can check them out online at beatrucker.com. Of course, my good buddies over at Four Hands Brewing Company do great stuff here in the community, constantly giving back to the community. A portion of the proceeds from their citywide pale ale and their citywide pilsner goes back to a local nonprofit here in St. Louis, so they're constantly giving back. My good buddy Kevin Lemp and Company, and of course, Dirt Cheap Fun Fun, 5% off your purchase of $50 or more on every single game day, 9 locations in the city of St. Louis.
Charlie?
I'm brought to you by all 3 Weber Chevrolets. Weber Chevrolet in Illinois, Columbia, and Granite City, of course, at 270 in Olive. Also brought to you by Ameren, Illinois, my title sponsor now. I've got a new title sponsor. And also the great Crown Candy Kitchens. When we find out the next time we're going to be in the studio, we'll have malts and the wonderful BLT, Crown Candy Kitchen.
We'll take a short time out. We're coming back with Chris Kerber and Martin right after this.